Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Thank you all, but I don't know why this morning, but I've just got a heart full of joy, and so I just really feel like clapping, and so let's just give a hand, Lord. Yeah. So, thank you. Just have a seat for just 30 seconds here, and we're glad that you're here, and we just want to welcome you, whether you're here every Sunday or this is your first Sunday. Just make yourself feel at home. We're just a great community here, and you are welcome and glad that you're here. I just want the Holy Spirit to fill your life today to overflowing. He's already there. I just want you to recognize it. So as you sing, as you pray, as you hear the word today, just know that God wants to do something great in your life. If you're joining us online, it doesn't matter if you're a million miles away or if you're just down the street at home, you're included in this community today. So Lord God, thank you for our time together. Lord, I'm so glad that you allowed us a breath of life today to come and to be a part of your family of faith. Lord, we're joined right here as a community, Lord, and I'm thankful that we are counted as yours, adopted daughters and sons into the great kingdom that you have created. Lord, let us just feel you among us, and then, Lord, let us follow you. I don't want to just have this feeling for about, 65 or 70 minutes. Lord, I want to take this into a relationship that follows you all the days of my life and everybody else in this room. Lord, let it be so in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen. If you want the sermon notes for today, there's the link up on the screen right now. And so if you've been with us for any amount of time, you know that that's there. It's the same phone number, the same routine. If you're new with us, you can get all the notes from today plus more than what I talk about here. So I don't keep you till 1:30 or 2 with all my thoughts. I'm just going to tell you that this has probably been probably my top five most difficult words to teach and sermonize on and preach on. Not because it's a hard concept, it's just been hard to put together. And I know, at least I've learned, that when that happens and I worry about it and it just doesn't work in my head, I really think that's the enemy just trying to keep a good word from the world, from all of you. And so I'm counting on that today. And if it's the worst presentation of a sermon you ever heard, that's just encourage you to come back next week because it'll be outstanding. Okay? And so just keep that in mind. Today we're going to talk about the way of fasting and fruitfulness. Now, I know that sounds horrible, but just bear with me for a little while, because back to our quote that we've had this month from Dallas Willard. It says, the greatest issue facing the world today, with all of its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who by profession or culture are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. How are we going to start today? With one of the most radical teachings that Jesus ever said. He got asked, what was the greatest commandment? Trying to trap him, trying to trick him. And he said this. He said, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost of the commandments. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. What does that mean? And how does that shape us? How do we live that out? It sounds so simple and easy, but as we try to live it out in our lives, we realize it's a little more difficult than we anticipated. And so how do we do that? There's a concept in the workplace. There's a concept in how we work out our lives. There's a concept in our daily living, and it's called the Parkinson's Law. Now, I'm not even being funny. Don't get that confused with Parkinson's, the disease. This is Parkinson's, the law, as it relates to our time. Parkinson's Law says this. Regardless of what the task is, it will fill the time that's allotted for it. So in other words, if I gave you the task of emptying the dishwasher, and I said, you have 10 minutes to do that. Well, you can easily fill the 10 minutes up with it emptying the dishwasher. Even though in reality, emptying the dishwasher really only takes 1 or 2 or 3 minutes. In the workplace, if I give you a day to write a report, right, but yet the report's only going to take you 2 or 3 hours, Parkinson's Law says you're going to fill the day with that task. What I say is, by the way, do you have children like this? Do you have spouses like this, right? Anybody ever send a spouse to take out the trash and you don't see them for half a day? Yeah, okay, well, that's a joke on me. I believe God works in the same way. Whatever time that we allot for God, whatever time and space we give to God, I believe that He will fill that space. Not just our busyness and busy work and trying to get things done and all the tasks, but when we give time to God, when we set aside time for God, I believe that He will fill that space, not just with His Holy Spirit, but with His power and His presence. And as we do that, though, I think I know this about all of us, and it's certainly true about me. Not just about my time with the Lord. Not just about my time working. Not just about my time studying or researching. Not just about my time exercising or doing fun things, right, entertainment-wise. We have to make an effort to make time for anything. Can somebody give me a hallelujah, a loud applause, a clap, an amen, something? Yeah, we do. And you know what that requires? Oh, and I hate this. It requires one thing that is really hard, and that is discipline. Now, I know that I'm just going to jump right to it. Before we talk about discipline, we don't need to use the word discipline because I just lost most of you when I said that. So let's just call it a habit or a practice. Is that better? Because none of us like to think that we have to do something that requires discipline, that requires us to really focus and to do things, but this is it. So it's a habit or a practice, and discipline is required to change or do anything. It's required to change a habit. It's required to add on to something that you're already doing. It's required to learn something new. It takes discipline. It just does. And we don't really like having to do those things, but the reality of it is we're usually better for it when we do it. Now, it doesn't necessarily apply to everything, but pretty much all the time when we talk about spiritual disciplines, right, a spiritual practice or a spiritual habit, it really is to allow us to draw closer to God, okay? It really is us aligning our time and efforts and energy with something that's godly so that we change and that we're transformed. And so I know that spiritual habits or spiritual practices are something you don't have to feel convicted, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to feel guilty, but not all of us are really good at spiritual habits or spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines, even me included. So here we are, I'm not going to get into it just yet, but trying to work through this idea of fasting, okay? It's been on my heart for a couple of weeks. I was really, back in December, Lord, how are we going to go through this year? What are you wanting to do and how you want to do things? And so I had a few outlines based on prayer and scripture. This was one of them. So as I'm getting ready to do this, and I'm looking over it and starting to work on it, and I'm sitting in my office, I'm out of my routine because I want to start a new routine, and I'm sitting there and I'm talking about fasting. Man, I got so hungry, I just can't tell you. Now, you think I'm making that up, but I'm not. Okay, I should have, for illustrative purposes, had our administrative assistant come in, because as I got really hungry and as I kept going and I'm thinking, this is a discipline. No, you don't need to be hungry. You're just talking about fasting. You're just thinking about fasting. I got up and I go into our cafe and I'm looking through the cabinets like I hadn't eaten in 6 months, and I'm out in the middle of the wilderness trying to find something to eat in a cabin I just found. I mean, I'm looking and I find a can of peanut butter. I find a jar of peanut butter, and I'm like, oh great. Nobody's name's on it. Okay, so in the church, you'll see signs in the kitchen, in the cafe. If your name's not on it and it doesn't have a date, it's fair game to either get thrown away or to get eaten. That's just the way it is. And most normally, when you find anything in the church that doesn't have a name on it, please do not dive right in because it's usually been expired for 13 years. Okay, it's just the fact of it. Okay, and so, but I found this, it's unopened, it hasn't expired, and nobody's name on it. I'm like, score, and so then I'm like, no, if it's not open, somebody just put it in here, I need to call around and see. So I call, the first person I call, she says, it's not mine. I keep calling, and finally I open up this peanut butter while I'm doing this sermon on fasting, and I'm eating it like it's my job. Just with a spoon. No apple, no banana, no bread, no jelly, just the peanut butter. And it was the crunchy peanut butter, which I really don't even like. How many of you are the crunchy peanut butter people in the room? Oh, God. How many of you are the creamy peanut butter people in the room? They're the real Christians right there. Amen. Amen. Yes, that's exactly right. Boy, that was a deal. So let me tell you, those spiritual disciplines are not to earn favor with God. Okay, they're not. And spiritual disciplines are not they're not the end result. They're just a means to the end. Okay, and spiritual disciplines are not altogether unpleasant all of the time, like taking, anybody remember taking really, well maybe still, just taking really bad tasting medicine, but you know it's going to make you better, right? That's not what I want you to hear about spiritual disciplines, okay? And you're not always, and I know some of you just starting to talk about spiritual disciplines or practices or habits, you're like, I've tried this before, and I failed miserably. I mean, you think the peanut butter story's bad? You ought to hear what I did, right? I mean, you have this guilt or this subconscious idea that if I fail, it's not going to... I mean, don't do that to yourself, because listen to me. I love this quote from John Ortberg. In his book, The Life You've Always Wanted, he says this. I said, the true indicator of spiritual well-being is growth in the ability to love God and people. Remember the scripture? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? If we can do this without the practice of any particular spiritual discipline, then we should, by all means, skip them. So, in other words, if you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and you can love your neighbor as yourself without prayer, without fasting, without scripture reading, without, then by all means, please do. Because you are filled with the Holy Spirit to the capacity that you've already been informed. And I'm really grateful for that and jealous, by the way. And that's fine. And that's not just to give you an out. I mean, it really is true because if you start a spiritual practice and you go, God, this is not doing anything. I've been doing it for 10 years, and I'm not one step closer to God than I ever was, then maybe you don't need to do that. Amen? Come on. Spiritual habits create room for God in our lives, right? They open up more space for us to be with Jesus, right? To be with Jesus, to be like Jesus, and then to do what Jesus does. Those are the three things we're going to focus on this whole year. Is to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do what Jesus does. If we can do that, I think we've come way ahead. And so 1 Timothy says this in 4, 7 through 8. He says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Okay? Not for anything else. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Now listen to me, you need physical discipline, okay? I mean, you need to, all of us, probably, we can eat just a little bit better. All of us could exercise just a little bit more. All of us could clean up our mouth just a smidge, right? I saw somebody just hit their spouse back here. Don't do that, right? I mean, all those are good, and we need to do that, but the spiritual disciplines are for this life and for eternity. That's why we're talking about them today. And so in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17, listen to this. Can you keep up back there so I don't have to look at it? Then the disciples of John came to him asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them. And then, as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and worse, tears result. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins will burst, and the new wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, for both are preserved. And then Luke adds this. This is out of Matthew. The same context is in Luke, but he adds this at the very end. And no one, after drinking the old wine, wants the new, for they say the old is better. See, here's what Jesus is telling. I'm going to make it real simple for you. Jesus is telling you that the newness of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant is coming to you, and you are the new wineskins. You are the new temple. The Holy Spirit, which is new, living in the temple in us, is new. The Holy Spirit has always been there, okay, but this is the new concept for all of the believers, that the Holy Spirit is coming. God is going to live inside of them instead of inside a little room in the back of the building. This is new to them. You are the new. See, you can't take something new, okay, this is why we have to change and be transformed. You can't take a new patch of cloth, okay, if you know anything about sewing, if you know anything about clothes, if you know anything about washing clothes and they shrink, you can't take a new patch and that has never been, I don't even know what the word is. Can you say shrunk or shrunken? I don't know. Shrunken. Which is it? See, none of you know either, so it doesn't matter. Shrunk and put it on something that's already been through the wash several times, because as soon as you do, that patch is going to shrink and it's going to pull away from the garment and it's going to make the tear worse. You can't put, now we don't have wineskins anymore. If you do, I want to come to your house. I want to see this, okay? But we don't have wineskins anymore, but they had the hides of animals that they used to put the new wine into to ferment it, right? They didn't have the beautiful oak barrels and all the things, and they didn't have that, okay? They had these wineskins they would put the wine into, but guess what new wine does as it ferments? It grows. And as it grows, the new skins soak up the wine. They don't drip. They don't leak. They soak it up. They get more pliable, and they expand with the wine. But after they expand, they don't shrink back. Once they get old and once they get used to what's in them, they don't go back. And so you can't put new wine in them, or when the wine expands, they'll burst. See, this is what Jesus is trying to tell us. This is what Jesus is trying to tell you. Jesus established a new covenant with us, and there's newness coming into your life, and so the old has to go, right? The old has to go away. And here's the problem with me is I like to stay the same way that I am. Anybody with me? Yes, we just do this, right? We like our routine. We find something that works, and we stick with it. We find a method or a mode of living with God, and we like that way, whether it's right or wrong or effective or not, and we don't want to change. We like it with our families. We like it with our children. We like it with our jobs. We just like it. We like it with our food. Anybody ever have a food that they stop making and you're just devastated? I mean, it's crazy. Why? I mean, we go through these things. But yet, Jesus is saying we have to change. Now, here's the deal about discipline, is that discipline comes in two forms. One is a discipline of abstaining. You're not going to do something. But one is a discipline of engaging. And this is where Christ comes into play. This is where this idea of faith comes into play. It comes into this idea of fasting. Let me go back to this idea of physical just for one moment to give you an idea. How many of you have ever heard, lose weight in the kitchen, build muscle in the gym? You ever heard this? Okay, because it means when you're in the kitchen, okay, you can work out all day long, you can exercise, you can run, you can bench press 300 pounds, you can do all those things, but if you're eating hot fries and chili and Cheese Whiz every afternoon, that's not going to change the way you really look right here. See, It's the method, it's the discipline of abstaining, and it's the discipline of engaging. Jesus is saying, you need to do the same thing, and here comes fasting. See, believers of the new covenant, right? Believers of the new covenant, we have this, fasting. It doesn't mean, It doesn't mean that you have to fast. In the new covenant, there's no directive that says Christians must fast. Christians still do fast and pray. Jesus fasted and prayed, and Jesus said, come and follow me. So why wouldn't we fast and pray? Why wouldn't we take up this idea of fasting? Now listen to me. Some of you are already have said in your head, oh, I fast. I fast almost every day. I eat dinner by 8 o'clock on the night before, and I don't eat for at least 12 or 14 or 16 hours till the next day. Okay, that is fasting. And you're fasting for a particular reason. But you're abstaining from food because you want to feel better or you want to look better. It may be a part of your diet. It might help your diabetes. It might help your blood sugar levels for whatever's going on. It might help your arthritis. It might help a lot of things. But that's not a spiritual fasting. Now, some of you may think it's super spiritual when you're about to pass out before you go find the peanut butter. But that's not spiritual fasting. You are abstaining, but you're not engaging God. You're not engaging the scriptures. You're not engaging prayer. You're not drawing closer to God at all. Even though, as I said, you might be praying you don't die, but that's not getting closer to God. So listen to me. Here's what I want to point out about Jesus when it talks about fasting. Jesus also, this is not just about abstaining, Jesus also participated in feasts. Hallelujah. Any foodies in the room? Yeah. I mean, we like our feasts, okay? But we also need to add the fast. He participated in feasts. He also left us a remembrance of him with food and wine, right? I mean, he left us with a remembrance of not fasting. He left us with a remembrance of him in lots of ways. But Matthew 4:4, he said this, it is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me tell you what biblical fasting is. Biblical fasting is, okay, you ready? It is a spiritual work. Biblical fasting is a spiritual work. It brings us temporarily away from distractions. Distractions from food or distractions of busyness or distractions from a lot of things because it's not just going to be about food in a minute. So we can give our undivided attention to God. When we realize that food does not nourish us the way God nourishes us, then we give attention to God in a new way. You still have to eat. But in this idea of fasting and spending time with God, we'll talk about getting his attention. And then we add prayer. We add journaling. We add some other spiritual discipline of reading scripture or something. When we abstain, here's what I think, is all of the other things kind of lose the sense of importance. And the importance of God begins to show up more and more in our lives. So we're going to talk about fasting, not just today, but maybe a little bit next week because there's not enough time today, but there's fasting in a lot of different ways. You can fast from food, okay? Lent is coming. Some of us practice Lent. Some of us don't. Some of us grew up in the Catholic Church or another faith where Lent was a really, really big deal. We talk about Lent. We have Ash Wednesday, and we have some Lenten services and those kinds of things, but it's not just about giving something up. It's about adding something in. I would rather you add something to your life, scripture reading or prayer or journaling or whatever it is, than just say, well, I'm going to give up Facebook for 40 days. Some of you went, oh my gosh, is he really saying that? Some of us may have to give up video games, right? Some of us may have to just give up, I don't know what it might be. But if you do that, add the scripture reading, add prayer, add journaling, add something, a small group, a Bible study, I don't know, but something to fill that place. Now listen to Matthew 6:16-18 about fasting. Whenever you fast, oh, let me just stop right there. Did it say, if you fast? No. Did it say, women, when you fast? No. Did it say, men, when you fast? No. Did it say, during Lent, when you fast? No, it just says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by people when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so your fasting will not be noticed by others, but only by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees it, what is done in secret, will reward you. It says when you fast, whenever you fast. I want you to start taking up this spiritual discipline. Somebody. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask right now. Come see me afterwards. Send me an email. Send me a text. You can send just a text to that phone number. That's where you get your sermon notes. And say, I want to sign up. I will do this with you. I want somebody, five people. How about five? Five people for one day a week. For one day a week to fast some meal, okay? Something, some time, and spend it in prayer. Doesn't have to be the same time, okay? If any of you claim to be a part of the 5 a.m. club for any rhyme or reason? Anybody get up before God gets up to go work out? Some of you do, right? Some of you do. Do any of you get up before God gets up to read scripture or do a Bible study? God, not a hand in the room. I'm just going home. That's the end of that. See y'all. Right? I mean, I'm not going to get up. Well, I shouldn't say that. God will tell me what I'm going to do. But I don't have to get up at 5 a.m. to do this. But just any time, if you will do that with me, I want you to let me know. And I've got some specific prayers about our community of faith. Because it says, whenever you fast, let's go all the way down, and your Father sees what is done in secret, He will reward you. The reward. It's not just about the fast. He says, if you will do these things, whenever, not just if, whenever you do these things, He will reward you. Because we're giving Him time. We're giving Him our attention. We're being intentional about spending our lives with Him instead of whatever it is, right? That's all this is about. Fasting is one of the most essential and powerful resources to get us connected to the kingdom. And let me just tell you, I don't do it. Not even semi-regularly, I don't do it. But after the Lord and that little idea, and after studying and after reading and after promoting, there are reasons that we should be doing it. Not just for our church, but for yourself. Not just for yourself, but for your marriage. Not just for your marriage or yourself or your church, but your children, your jobs, for your relationship with God. It should be for everything, for illnesses, for answers to prayers, for all sorts of things. Now, let me tell you, there's all sorts of fasts. I just wrote a whole bunch of them down. There's food, there's beverages, there's technology, there's music. Sorry, Dallas. There's status. You may need to fast your status in life by actually letting somebody see you doing a Bible study somewhere, and they're going to ask questions about you. Fast can be for 40. Oh, I forgot one. There's even a fast. Yep, I can show you where it is. There's even a fast in marriage. I got to be careful right here. All you married people, all you adults, catch up and listen. There's even a fast in your marriages. Oh, my gosh. Just kill me. From he-in and she-in. Either y'all didn't get that, or you're just stunned that that's in the Bible. I don't know which it is. Or you go, liar, liar, pants on fire. There's no way God says that we shouldn't do that. It says, if you're in agreement to fast from your marital relationships for a certain amount of time to pray, read scripture, and draw closer to God, then agree to do it and watch what God will do. See, that's a fast. It's a miracle too, but it's a fast. Gosh, y'all are terrible. These are good jokes. These are funny. I mean, I'm smiling myself just thinking about it, right? And so there are one-day fasts. There are 40-day fasts. There are 10-day fasts. There's the Daniel fast. There's an Esther fast. There's all sorts of fasts. I'm not going to give them to you. I thought about putting them online. Just look them up, all right? Now, let me tell you, I did do that. I said, okay, what happens if I says the type of fast? What types of fasts are there? The first one that popped up was a website that says, here are the rules to fasting. There are no dadgum rules. There are no rules. If they were, they'd be in Scripture. There are no rules. The only rules are is you do it for God. And so, here are the things. I say this all the time. Why do we have spiritual disciplines? Why do I talk about fasting? Why do we talk about reading Scripture? Why do we talk about prayer? It's for this very reason. Just like I said, hold up your hand if you'll recognize to God that you need healing in your life. I believe when we take action for the Lord rewards that. I believe when you take action for the Lord rewards that. I don't know what that reward is. There's nothing spelled out. There's nothing plain and solid about it, but I know it works, and I know He does, and I believe it'll be true for fasting as well. So let me give you this last thing. I just gave you four things. They're online. They're not on the screens. Just listen to me. Above all things, be real, right? In your time with the Lord, in your fasting, be real. And if you fail at it miserably, just be real and say, Lord, I'm having trouble with this. Help me. Lord, I don't know that I can do this. Show me how to do it. Show me a different way to do it. If it's, I can't fast a whole day without looking at social media, then say, Lord, I want to start with 30 minutes. I want to start with one app. I want to start with one social media platform, whatever it might be. I really can't go without eating because I am diabetic or I am hypoglycemic or whatever it is. Lord, show me how to do this. Just be real. And don't beat yourself up when you don't do as well as you think you're going to, right? And then the second thing is learn of the Lord the sacred words of prayer. And that by that I mean just pray. And it doesn't have to be complicated. Just be real. Be real in your prayers. Hey, Lord, here I am. Somebody told me this last week on Wednesday that I think is just a superhuman, godly influence in the world. And they said they are terrified to pray out loud because they don't know how to pray. Impossible. They know how to pray. They just don't feel like they're good at it. Nobody's good at praying. Amen? Nobody's good at praying. Some of us are very eloquent, and some of us are great, and some of us know all the right words, and I really wish I had a British accent because y'all would think I was the closest person to God, and when I pray, I mean, that's just how we feel. No, just pray. Lord, here I am. I'm having a horrible day, or Lord, here I am. My marriage is falling apart, or Lord, here I am. Everything is great and wonderful. Thank you, Lord, right? Here I am, Lord. That's all you got to do. Just pray. And when you do, deny yourselves, right? And denying yourself is that idea of giving up yourself. Stop being selfish. Don't stop praying for yourself, but pray for others. Don't stop doing stuff for yourself, but do stuff for others. Don't stop, right? You may need to abstain from something, but I'm telling you, just start engaging in a spiritual habit or a spiritual practice, and fasting is one of them. Because let me say this about fasting, and I super mean this, right? I'm not kidding. It is funny, by the way, but I'm not kidding. Is that I want you to engage in a spiritual discipline. I want you to engage in fasting, okay? We're going to talk about it. I want you to engage in fasting. I want you all to change. I want our congregation to change. I want our church to grow. And I think these spiritual disciplines are the key, these spiritual practices or habits. But if you don't have a Christ-centered purpose for fasting, all you're going to be is hangry, and your friends and family are going to hate me for asking you to do it, okay? You got to have a purpose. It's not to lose weight. That may be great too. It might make you feel better. That's a definite benefit. But the purpose is to draw closer to God. Okay, the purpose of reading Scripture is not for information. The purpose of reading Scripture is for transformation. See, that's the purpose. The purpose of prayer is not just to hear yourself talking and be pious and all holier than thou. No, the purpose of prayer is to talk to your Creator, to talk to your Lord, to talk to your Savior, because He wants to talk to you. That's the whole thing about spiritual disciplines. That's the whole thing about fasting. And when we do, next week, you're going to find out what the fruitfulness of that is. What comes from it? What's the reward? What happens when we engage in these practices? So I want us to do that, and I'm going to pray over you. Again, if you want to take that invitation, at least five of you, somehow let me know, and so I can get you the information. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I don't care when you do it, but during your time, I have a little outline for you, and you can add to it. You just can't take away from it. All right? Lord God, thank you for our time. Lord, thank you for your holy word. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit who empowers us to be disciplined, who empowers us to create new habits. Father, who empowers us to die to ourselves, to get rid of the old. Father, to be a new creation as you told us. Lord, I pray that we would engage in the spiritual disciplines. Lord, that we would create new habits and practices. Father, not just to make ourselves better, but Father, so that we could have the life that you have in store for us. So we could take hold of that life that you have created for us. Lord, so we can be who you have always wanted us to be. And then, Father, on top of that, Father, so I can be the most powerful disciple, a moving force for your kingdom here on earth. So, Father, so when people in this congregation engage, Father, when they grow in you, when they are transformed, Father, when they lay hands on people, they are healed and their lives are changed. They're forgiven and guilt is gone. Father, that they would know that their sins are forgiven. Father, when they talk to someone about you, that people want to know more because of your supernatural power that's flowing through them. Father, that they become the most merciful and grace-filled people in Lubbock, Texas. And Father, that people want more of what they have. Fill us, Lord. Fill us. In the name of Jesus Christ, fill us and change us. It's in your holy and most powerful and matchless name that I ask these things to come true. And all the people said, amen, amen. As the people of, as Jesus said, and as the scriptures say, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And then in other places, they call the people that follow Jesus, people of the way. I pray that you would go from this place following the way of Christ, showing people the way to Christ, and reflecting all of that grace and mercy in you. If you'll do that, if you'll sign up to be that devoted follower, you'll say amen and enjoy the rewards of what He has in store for you. Amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.